Welcome to the Saturday morning edition of the Crude Life Storytellers here live from Watford City at the Little Missouri Inn and Suites. And we got Blair Thorson in attendance as well. He just got a rough night. He spent a week at Winona last night. No, I'm just kidding. Blair Thorson, of course, former North Dakota Senate, was it, or House?
House.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, we're joined now by Mike Lee, and you never know who's going to show up on the Crude Life, guys. Sorry. Jenna Norman and Mike Lee, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yep.
All right. And Jenna, could you say hello for me just 1 second?
Hey.
Thank you very much. We're just going to put that mic a little bit closer. Now we're doing fine here. Sometimes we change our oil while driving 90 miles down the interstate, which, as a truck driver, you can probably understand that.
Yep.
Hopefully. No, just kidding. You are a truck driver, though, is that right?
Yes.
CDL license?
Yep.
The whole deal?
Yep.
What made you gravitate towards that? You don't appear to be very old.
No, I just turned 21.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you're much younger than I thought. Okay.
Yeah, I started when I was 18.
Yeah.
Right out of high school, basically, you know.
And you're not from North Dakota?
Yeah, I'm from Georgia.
Not with that accent.
No.
No. Well, maybe the Marmot area, but Marmot yeah. area. You're from Georgia?
Yes.
Which part of Georgia?
Rome. It's about an hour from Atlanta.
South? North?
North.
North. Northwest. I was going to say Macon.
Yeah.
Mason. South. Okay, sorry. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what made you become a truck driver. That's an interesting decision.
Well, right when I graduated high school, you know, it's my parents were, you know, go to college, you know, get a career, you know, lawyer or something, doctor, I don't know, or it was, you know, go to work. And then dad was, I've always kind of grown up around the trucks, you know, was never really a girly girl, you know, so I liked all the boy stuff. So being around the trucks, you know, it's kind of what I was used to. And so I graduated high school, and then we kind of joked about getting my CDL, and then sure enough I did, and here I am. So
how long did that take, a process?
The class I went to was 2 weeks. It was like a week in class, like book knowledge, stuff like that. And then a week driving and backing and all that good stuff.
Okay. And then how long of a job search did you have after you got your CDL?
So I kind of lucked out, I guess. My dad was been in Nuvera for ever now. And he went to Pat, and they talked about, you know, it's kind of a process because I was so young at 18 they kind of took a chance, you know.
Was that primarily the obstacle, was your age? Was because there's not a lot of 18-year-old CDL drivers, not a lot of 20-year-old CDL drivers, let alone 21, 22.
Right,
And so I get that, you know, just from it's more of a maturity issue of life.
Right.
Just life experience. It has nothing to do with who you are as a person, anything like that.
No.
So I understand that fear, but they took a chance.
Yeah.
She passed the test, so she can do the job we're asking. And what happened after that then? I mean, you were gone, or what type of, you know, hitch did you have, or what type of a schedule did you have for truck driving?
So my schedule was just, I worked whenever I could, you know, just trying to get more driving time under a belt and this and that. So anytime I could work, I worked, and I'm still doing that now. I don't know. I've always liked driving, you know. You get to see a lot of stuff when you're out there, you know. All the deers, animals, this and that, and just a bunch of people you meet, too.
Getting out in the open road, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and so you're right now you're in the flexible phase of your life, or you're looking to work and taking on whatever jobs you can get and that sort of thing, huh? Okay. We'll transition back in just a second. I'm going to hop it over to Mike Lee, originally from Montana.
That's right. That's right. God's country.
Boy, you got yourself a Sam Elliott guttural voice there.
I wish I had his face and money.
Man, you should be the new God Beef guy instead of Matthew McConaughey. Boy, we went the wrong direction there.
Well, now you know.
Well, I mean, who do we have? Robert Mitchum, Sam Elliott, Matthew McConaughey. He glistens. These other guys are all, you know. So. All right, so when did you come to North Dakota?
I got here on March the 28th. Well, my wife and I got here on March the 28th of 2010.
Okay, 2010. So that was about right at the peak of the height of all the activity.
The boom.
The boom, yeah. I mean, and then I was supposed 2012 was when it kind of started coming down a little bit at a slower pace until 14, 15, and then, whoa, that was a big step there. So
we've been we experienced all that and been with the same company that entire time, except for one little break in the action era where I tried another company and then came back. And, you know, Jenna underestimates herself. I was a driver trainer when she came on board for Nuvera. And so after her initial training, they wanted me to take her out. And the first place I took her was a place called the Bear Den. And I don't know if you know anything about the Bear Den.
But pretty sure I can figure out what it is.
So it's a dirt road that winds down into the Badlands. And there's several wells back in there that we service. And so I just had her drive.
Oh, it's not a strip club?
No.
Oh, I assumed it was a strip
That's
club.
That's not a bad idea, though. I mean,
the only bear's dens I've ever heard of is the strip club place. Okay, so I've...
No, this is... It's an area.
All right, I'm back on the same page now. Okay,
so anyway, I just decided to take her down in there, and yeah, she jumped in the truck, and she drove down, and it's a pretty exciting... Used to be a lot more exciting, but they've done a better job of getting the road upgraded, but... Yeah, she drove down in there, drove back out. I said, are you nervous? She wasn't nervous. She just, like she'd been doing it all of her life. And your comment about her being, you know, the maturity thing, she just came across. I mean, she's a top, like, 5%er of young people. I've got kids of my own, and they're grown now. And you don't run across people like her very often. She's an exception, that's for sure.
Well, how about your move then? What brought you here? I mean, first of all, you're from Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay, now did you lose a bet or throw a dart at the dartboard or,
no.
You know?
So, actually, my dad was up here by himself.
Okay.
For a year, and then he would fly down here and there. But he stayed here for a year, you know, make sure the money was good. And he finally decided to move the whole family up and been here ever since.
Now, did you go to high school here?
Yes, I did. I graduated from there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when your reservation about coming up here was when you were in junior high or
15. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well then, yeah. I mean, you move across town and you're not going to like that, yeah, right?
No, I'd
miss all your friends and everything else.
Yes.
And that sort of thing.
So in my town, you know, you kind of grew up the same people you went to kindergarten with.
Totally.
It's the same people you're going to graduate with. And so I knew those people my whole life. So I didn't really want to move up here. You know, you think North Dakota, like,
mm-hmm.
What's up there, you know? And I'm really glad I did now, you know. I love it here. And
it's amazing, isn't it? Some of
the
amenities that are in a town of this size, isn't
it? Oh, yeah,
it? Columbus, Georgia. That's mm-hmm. what I was trying to think of. Not Macon. Okay, because Columbus is right on the border of Alabama and
right.
Georgia. Okay,
yeah.
Trying to think of there.
Definitely an adjustment from Georgia mm-hmm. to North Dakota, you know, the winters.
Mm-hmm. And well, even the weather's different. The humidity's different.
It's
and the dry.
Completely different.
The wind and the whole mm-hmm. alligators and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. We still got poisonous snakes around here, though.
Oh, yeah.
So. So did your dad encourage you to do the CDL, or did you want to do that? And I'll give you an example. Target Logistics, you familiar with Target Logistics?
Yeah.
We interviewed Brian Lash, the founder, the CEO. He's mm-hmm. he's now, I think, removed from there. But one of the things we talked about in 2014 was the trades, mm-hmm. about how if I was a parent, if I was a teacher, I'd be telling kids to go get their CDL, going to get their welding, going to get their certifications, because by the time you're 25, if you want to go on to the next chapter of your life, you could have $250,000 saved up and go start a Subway franchise or go
right.
start a second life with some real opportunity. Mm-hmm. Is that happening with you? I mean, are you making decent money for someone your age?
Yes.
Okay.
Because my parents always used to push the college, you know, go to college and
yep.
do it.
Well, 4-year degree, we were bred for that, yeah.
But coming up here, you know, they've kind of changed their mindset on it, you know. Get a trade, you know. You don't really necessarily need a college education to make good money anymore, not up here.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really pushing trade. And
yeah, it's been a push for, like I said, we started in 2014 because we saw the definite switch just mm-hmm. from the artificial intelligence side of things, AI, the tech mm-hmm. schools are going up and up and up just when you look at robotics and healthcare and a number of these different things. So Mike, how about you? I mean, a little bit different truck driving and from I imagine when you were her age and vice versa.
Yeah, so my background is before I came to North Dakota, I worked, well, I got out of the Navy and used my government schooling grant to go to dealer school.
And so, dealer school?
Yeah, so I worked in Vegas. Worked in Tahoe.
Oh, it is blackjack dealer school.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
not like Colorado dealer school. Yeah, okay, yeah. All right.
So that was my first career, I guess. That was about 12 years. And then I got into the mining industry, and that's what I was doing before I came to North Dakota. So I spent like 22 years, I think, in the mining industry in Alaska, Nevada, and Montana.
Did you go from Vegas to Alaska, or was Reno in between?
Reno was where my youngest boy was born. So I was working in the casino business when...
Okay. There's a lot of mining in Reno.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I ask if that's where the mining... I was going to wonder where the mining got introduced.
Yeah, so the mining around that I was at in Nevada would have been Battle Mountain, Elko. I don't know if you're familiar with that area. That's where
that's more north, isn't it?
Yeah.
Elko, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And then...
it's a ways from Vegas.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So I was working in the mining industry in those areas, in those towns, but I was in the casino business in Vegas.
Yeah.
Two completely different careers in the same state. But I was in the mining industry over there in Montana, and I was helping out my mom because she's getting older, and the job I had in Montana was not doing very well. So I wound up doing the 2010 census. That's how hard up I was for money at the time. And I don't know if you know what they pay the census people. I think I was getting $10.50 an hour or something like that. Well, then the census dried up. And I had to do something else. And
I've never heard it phrased, the census dried up. I love it.
Right. The job.
Yeah, no, dried up. Say, definitely an oil field terminology, so I just love it. All right, go on.
So this gal that was my teacher to teach us how to do the census, I was pretty impressed with her. I thought she was a really beautiful woman, and I wanted to ask her out, but I just couldn't imagine somebody that looked like her and had that personality wouldn't be hooked up with somebody else. So I was just kind of a crush, and I just thought, well, if it's ever going to come to any fruition. So anyway, we get done with the census, and about 3 days after we're done, she calls me up. She goes, "You know who this is?" And I said, "Yeah." I go, "It's Sherry." And I go, "How's it going?" And what she said to me kind of floored me. She said, "You know what?" She goes, "You're not very bright, are you?" And I said, "Well, what?" She goes, "Couldn't you tell I was flirting with you? How come you never asked me out?" And I go, "Well, I'm asking you out now." She goes, "Call me back." Click. So I had to call her back and
went
through the whole little deal. But 2 weeks later, I said, "I'm heading to North Dakota. I got this little 25-foot bumper pool camper. And what are you doing?" She decided, like, in one day, "Yeah, I'll go with you."
Romeo, man.
So we just, she didn't have anything else going on. I didn't have anything else going on. I'd never been here before. I didn't know anything about the oil business. She didn't know anything about the oil business, but I just knew I had a job. So show up, go to work at Power Fuels. She started out at the little hardware store here downtown, making $8.25 an hour. But now she's working for a workover rig company, and she's gone through a lot of career moves, always up. Word in money and responsibility, and so we're not too far from retiring. Matter of fact, I've got my house. We have a house in Montana. I have a house here. I've got my house on the market here, and when that house sells, we're going to be on the road for a couple of years.
Is it just driving the road, open road type thing, or?
Well, we've got a nice fifth wheel camper.
Yeah.
And we've got kids in San Diego. I got a kid in Alaska. She's got a couple of kids in the Washington area, so we're just going to go drive them crazy for a couple of years. We got grandkids we don't get to see a lot of, which is the downside to being over here. It's a long ways to San Diego and these places, so yeah, we're looking forward to that time.
Well, that should be exciting, and good luck to you on that.
Thank you.
But so have you been working in the oil and gas industry since 2010?
Yep, entire time.
The entire time. What types of changes have you seen either in the Watford City area or in the industry?
So the city itself, so when we first got here, I don't even think there was a stoplight here, right? It was just stop signs. And
that might be true, actually.
and if you look at, I'm sure you've been to the event center in the new high school. I'm pretty sure that event center and that high school probably are worth more money than all of the real estate that was in this town at the time that I think there was 1,100 people or 1,200 people here at the time. And I don't even know what the population is now. But Yeah, so the city itself has made huge changes and always in a positive direction. I mean, always in a positive direction. And why do I say that? There's a huge amount of money that's been flowing into North Dakota and into Watford City. Well, they've spent the money well. They built the school. They improved the roads. They've done the things with the money that you would expect responsible people to do. They've had a couple of faux-pas along the way because I don't think they were ready for the boom that happened here. But for the most part, I think they've done a good job of investing in the infrastructure in the future here.
The roundabout, how's that been?
Which one? There's none of those are even there either.
No.
There's three of them now, I guess.
Yeah.
Within 30 miles of here, something like that.
Well, some of them outside of town sure make it go easier.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they sure definitely do.
And I'm not a big fan of roundabouts, but out here I'm definitely. I never
saw one before. I went to Australia, and they're really big on them there. So.
Oh, they're popping up like daisies in Fargo.
Yeah.
I tell you. Yeah. Bike lanes, too.
So as far as the industry itself, what have I seen change in the industry in 10 years? So the draw for people in 2010, I know that in my state of Montana, I can't speak for the rest of the country, but there was just nothing going on. Unemployment in the other places was high, and there wasn't a lot of opportunity then.
Now, other places of Montana, would that be like Flathead Lake? And
well, nowhere really. Yeah. I mean,
because all the tourist area, nobody's going there.
Right, exactly. And that if you're relying on tourism and you don't really have anything else, that's going to be a pretty limited amount of people that are going to find work.
Well, being from Minnesota, we've got Lake Country, of course, South Dakota, the Black Hills. From May to September, make money while the sun shines, because there ain't no hay after that.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know, right.
You get a tumbleweed coming through town, and that's about it.
So North Dakota is the only place I've ever seen where tumbleweeds can actually outrun your truck when the wind's blowing hard enough. If it's blowing 70, you might have tumbleweeds passing you on the road. That's pretty crazy.
Isn't that crazy when you're beyond good kite weather? Yeah. Like, a good wind is good kite weather, right? That's a positive. Well, it's too windy for kites. What do you do? I mean, you can't even have the wind turbines blow. It's too busy, you know? Now, were you here during the construction of the school?
Yes.
Jenna?
I was started at the old school over there.
Okay.
Town, and then they were still building it, and then towards the end of the year, we had finally moved into the new one.
Yeah, I just remember some of the stories, just what the kids had sacrificed and, you know, put up with, if you will.
Yeah.
And then when I hear what Mike is saying about, you know, the Rough Rider Center and the school together, do you see where a little bit of growing pains can really produce just some bountiful fruit?
Yes.
You know, and so it's... One of the first interviews we did this week was with two siblings. One was a sophomore. The other one was just graduating. And, you know, the one who was just graduating had an appreciation for the Rough Rider Center in high school. And the sophomore was like, that's what I grew up with. You know, it's already lost on these kids.
Yeah.
So I always try to do a little bit of a public service announcement of the it wasn't always this good, you know, and that sort
right.
of thing. But I just am amazed at the opportunities that Rough Rider Center can bring, from DECA to this Iron Giraffe Challenge thing that they did there. And were you able to use that at all, or were you gone at that point?
So in my high school, I just kind of, you know, did everything and then graduated because I wanted to get out and work.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I kind of just, you know, did my last year in there and graduated.
All right. So you're just nose to the ground wanting to get out in the real world, so to speak. Okay. Do you have any aspirations beyond trucking? Do you want to try? Is trucking even a thing you can say anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everyone says CDL now, so I didn't know if that took over as the new PC word. I'm a little I'm a little behind the times on things. But are you planning on being in this industry for the long haul? Is it a pit stop? Are you leaving your options open, I guess?
You know, doing what I do now, I get to go to the rigs and everything else, and I meet a lot of people, and they keep it entertaining. You know, it's very, you know, they kind of, oh, my gosh, there's a girl in the truck, you know.
So cast keep, of characters.
Yeah. Like, all the people here keep it entertaining, but, you know, I'm going to ride it out a little bit longer. I've kind of joked about, you know, buying my own truck here soon, you know, just getting out there, but for right now, I'm going to stay at Nuvera and just keep making money.
How many other female truck drivers or CDL drivers are there? Do you know? I mean, is there a lot? Is there a very
few?
So,
for our district, I'm the only one.
Oh.
For Watford.
Well, this is like a main event interview then.
Yeah.
You're the one.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
We've had a few come and go.
Pat, I could have worn a tie, you know.
Yeah.
Well, is there an advantage to that? I suppose it's a mixed bag. You're going to have some people picking on you because you're the only girl, and some people that just are inspired, I suppose.
Yeah, so coming in, you know, everybody knew my dad. He worked there, so everybody kind of knew. You know, they treat me like I'm their daughter, so everybody kind of looked out for me, which was really nice. And, so I kind of looked out with that.
Boy, imagine the guy asking you out's probably go to 15 different supervisors to make sure they're worthy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mike, how about you? Do you see many women out there? You were shaking your head, so, you know, and you've got a little more experience than her. So
when Jenna came on, Pat and I and Jenna and a couple other people, well, her dad, we sat down, I recall, and had a conversation about, well, you know, are you comfortable with this? Are you going to be able to do that? And we wanted to make sure that everybody was on the same page, which was, let's make sure that this young lady is going to be successful and safe. It was the safety thing that was the biggest issue, you know. Because like you said, that level of maturity to be able to drive on the roads in North Dakota at the age of 18 in a rig that weighs 80,000 pounds, that's something that requires a pretty responsible person. And she just was worth the risk. You know, we just knew that she was worth the risk. But she, like I said, she underestimates herself. She's right that we did look at her as like a sister or a daughter. So the people at Nuvera were very protective of her. We were making sure that she had the training and people were looking out for her. But now, because of her work ethic and because of just who she is, people respect her. She's gotten the respect. And you know, and I know, or I believe that people in the oil field tend to be different than a lot of other industries in that they recognize quality people. They recognize the grit and the gumption that it takes to come up here and do the work that we do. And when you see that in somebody, whether it's Jenna or anybody else, you get that word respect. And she's definitely a respected driver now. We're not... She'll always be our little sister or her daughter, but it's more about the fact that she's earned that respect because of just who she is.
Any advice you guys might have for somebody moving here, thinking about moving here? You obviously had reservations because you were in junior high school, yes. And also moving across country. A lot of scary things. Start with you.
Honestly, you might be scared, but just do it. I mean, get out of your town, you know, go somewhere different. You know, come to Wofford. I mean, I was kind of skeptical about it first, but I think if I never came here, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, and I wouldn't have got all these other opportunities and seen, you know, Mount Rushmore and this and that. You know, we probably never would have got out of Georgia.
You know how many people right now are jealous listening to your story? Seriously, like wishing... We've ever heard the saying, if I only knew what I knew back then,
right.
And all that, that's, you're doing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many people wish they would have just gotten a really good job right out, but also travel the world before you have kids or before you get married and do all before you add anchors in your life, go out and enjoy it, you know, that type of thing. Uh-huh. But so that's great. I bet you're inspiring to a lot of people and you don't even know it.
I'm glad.
Mike, how about you? Any advice that you might have?
Well, you know, the best things that happen in your life usually don't happen when out of comfort and when you're relaxed and everything's good. It's usually the stressors in your life that create that need to take a chance. That's the way it was for me. It was like, and it is scary. You don't know what's going to look like 2 or 3 years from now, but I just know from my life and a lot of people up here, we all came up here, a lot of them in that same situation. And all I can tell you is that financially, I'm set for the rest of my life. Between me and my wife working, we've only been here 10 years and we were flat broke when we got here. And so from a financial standpoint, if you're willing to put in the effort and the work and you've got that kind of work ethic, the opportunities here, and I don't mean to become a millionaire or anything like that, but to live a very comfortable life and be able to travel and take vacations, you should see her pickup. She's got the nicest pickup in Watford City. Guys drool when she drives by, and I don't know if it's about her, but it's probably her truck.
Well, I think I thought I heard you mention a home in Montana yes. and a home in North Dakota, yeah. so multiple homes, pickups, yes, we get it.
So, good, so the opportunity to succeed financially is definitely here. This community is amazing. The people here are just the most... When I first came here and I got to know some of the locals, and some of these people are still my best friends, what really surprised me about them was if my little hometown of Troy, Montana got invaded by all these animals showing up like they did in 2008, 9, and 10, they wouldn't have been a welcoming environment in that little town that I'm from. And it really surprised me that the local people here were just, they were open to the... to what was happening. They didn't like some of the rowdiness that was going on, because there was some rowdiness going on, but they saw the transition and what it was going to mean for their community, and that's what's happened. And I'll just tell you what Larry Larson's wife, who is my neighbor, they own the drugstore downtown here. He's my neighbor, and when I first met Deb and Larry, Deb asked us where we were from, introduced herself and everything, and I remember her saying, I told her I want to let you know how much I appreciate the hospitality I've experienced from the local people here. And I just told her the same thing I just told you. And she said, all we ask, if you come here with good intentions, you're welcome. And if you're not coming here with good intentions, we'd rather you not stay. And that's a pretty simple way of putting things, and that's exactly what she said. And I think most people do have good intentions. We're all here for the same reason, and that's what makes it a strong community. You're going to find like-minded people here. People here are here to work. They have a work ethic. They tend to be honest. You know, I mean, why wouldn't you want to live in a community like that where those things are just a day-to-day? That's the way people live day-to-day. So if you're looking for a great place to come, if you're looking for opportunity, if you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself, we're energy independent now, for now anyway, and you can be a part of history, and this is a good place to make a stand, I think.
Thank you guys for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
That. Thank you. That was a good job. That was great.